just want to say something before we start. I want to thank everybody really very, very much for yesterday. It's the most valuable Dharma discussion, Dharma experience I've ever had. And when I left here, my eyes were falling asleep, and Ivan said to me, "You see, now you understand that you're not doing nothing." And yet, when I got back, I only slept for 2 hours, and I got up at 1:15, so energized, and the only thing I was able to do was to read the book on Metta, which Venerable Dharmanando lent to me. But I just want to thank all of you for that incredible support, that incredible help yesterday. I actually now begin to really understand. Thank you.
Following on from that, I was just discussing with the Venerable whether when the mind is racing like that, we may think that thinking about Dhamma must be Kusala, but only the person himself can know. Sometimes, speaking from my own experience, if I'm in a situation where, for example, I can't sleep because the mind is being overstimulated, then it's not Kusala. It seems to be akusala, a mixture of attachment and dosa, even though the subject matter might be the Dhamma. There's no rule, is there, Ajahn, that if it's thinking about Dhamma, it must be kusala?
No. Who knows? Because yesterday we talked about reading the map, right? So it's this moment. Reading the map, it's all about names of which represents reality. But how can there be the precise, direct understanding without awareness? So it's just talking about citta, while citta arises and falls away at different times with different jetasikas. But in order to know that it's impossible to know directly what citta arises, there must be the intellectual understanding about what citta is right now. Otherwise, it is only the story about citta. We are used to the word citta, but what citta is this moment? No understanding. But we know that there must be citta arising and falling away, performing its function, and never come back again at all. Just arise and passing away completely. And this is the way life is, and everything, even the rupa, which is conditioned by uttu, temperature, cannot last long. It just arises and falls away, everything.
If the citta were to be kusala in that situation, how would it differ from being akusala? What can we say about the characteristic of kusala citta as opposed to akusala?
There are not one jetasika, there are many jetasikas. 14 of them are akusala, unwholesome.
So we offer, like Ajahn says, we take thinking for self. There's the underlying idea that I am thinking. But it is very hard to understand, Panya can understand.
And what about seeing?
The same. We take it, oh, I am seeing. Mm-hmm. Even if we do not expressively think, I am seeing, we still take it for self. But it's really difficult to understand this point.
That's why we talk about the latent tendencies, the idea of self, the misunderstanding or wrong understanding of self. It's not now when kusala moment arises, but it's there, not eradicated yet. That's why the understanding will go gradually deep down to that latent tendencies in order to have conditions for direct awareness to be aware and understand reality right now, just like what we have heard. Like a moment of experiencing hardness, there is no one. If there is more and more understanding, whenever there is awareness of hardness, there is the understanding enough to become detached from taking it for something as usual in a day, like we are touching glass or touching a pen or something like that. What is true that Panya can penetrate the truth of it when it's developed more and more. So it's gradually accumulated, like today is different from yesterday, but what it was heard yesterday conditioned the understanding of today, better understanding. Instead of thinking about how come to be enlightened, what about, is there any understanding of reality right now enough from hearing or moment of being aware, not moving away from whatever appears? And that's the beginning of understanding that it's real, it's just a reality different from other reality like sound. And when sound appears, not moving away from it, because it's just a reality different from visual object. No need to see anything, because right understanding is there from one thing, from one reality to another reality. To build up the understanding of there is no self, only different characteristics from eye, ear, nose, tongue, and body.
You say not moving away from it. What do you mean by that, please?
As soon as there is thinking, there is idea about what is seen instantly. No attention, no understanding of visual object or seeing at all. By what? Vitakka cetasika. Another cetasika.
So in a sense, the thinking moves one away from the reality, but then the enlightened being also has thinking, so it must be a different kind of thinking.
Thinking with right understanding is different from thinking with ignorance.
Can you talk more about thinking with right understanding?
Usually, one knows that thinking is real, but one does know what reality it is. Whether it is citta or cetasika or whatever name it is, we don't mind at all. As long as there is a reality which usually think through mind or. But when it's not through mind or, it can arise after moment of seeing instantly. Follow the next citta instantly. Because at moment of seeing, the citta performs the function of seeing, only sees. It cannot know anything at all. But as soon as the seeing consciousness has passed away, the next citta needs another cetasika because it does not perform the function of seeing, but it can have the object of seeing as its object with that cetasika, vitakka. Usually it's translated as thinking, but actually it's not thinking in word, but it's there. It needs that cetasika to arise after seeing has fallen away in order to experience the same object as seeing consciousness. And from that time on, there is vitakka cetasika with kamavara citta. This is quite far away, but we live in the world of five khandhas. We don't talk about the moment of jhana, the absorption concentration, which has rupa or arupa as its object, or nibbana. We talk about daily life. So from moment of seeing has passing away, vitakka arises with each citta, performing its function through the sense door and through the mind door differently. Because usually when it performs the function through the mind door, there is thinking. But even so, it does not appear at all like now. What is seen is already known through mind, but vitakka cetasika arises before mind process. This is the rapidity of the sankhara from moment to moment. In order to see that there is no self who can do anything.
Because I'm not understanding this, or I'm finding it a lot to hear all at once. The vitakka cetasika, did I understand, it takes the mind away from the object? And
It arises with each citta, which are kamavara citta, except the ten. vipaka, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching.
It doesn't arise with those.
Yes, and then it arises with the rest.
All the others.
All the others.
And its function is?
Vitaka. See that we think of vitaka in terms of thinking, touching the object. Mm-hmm. Because it's not like pasa jetasika. Each jetasika has its own function and characteristic, which is very hard to separate.
Yeah.
Very close sometimes,
yes.
But they are different. And they cannot be one jetasika. It is a characteristic of a citta, a jetasika at a time only. Like vitaka jetasika is not vijara jetasika. And they arise together. And they also arise with other jetasikas. So we just learn to understand that there is no self, but no need or no wish to experience any of them at all. Because even right now, citta and jetasikas arise, who knows? But there can be the beginning of understanding of reality as it is, like citta is not jetasikas. So whatever appear, arise with no understanding of its reality as no self, there is the idea of I all the time, until there is better and better understanding of reality as just the conditioned reality arising and passing away in split seconds. So no need to think about, to experience vitaka or vijara or any jetasika, because jetasikas arise, but no understanding, so the self is there, like my seeing or I am seeing, my body and my thought, but actually it's only conditioned reality.
Can we say that whenever vitaka is mentioned, like you were mentioning it quite a bit just then, and in the text there's quite a lot of reference to it, can we say whenever it's mentioned, vichara is implied as well?
But it's not vitaka.
Because it arises.
They arise together.
Because I just wondered why it is vitaka that is always emphasized. Is it because samasankapa is eightfold path factor that it's mentioned a lot? Or by vitaka, is it just shorthand for vitaka and vichara?
This is why we say that they are so close, but they are not the same, they are the one. For example, two persons, one holds the glass and the other helping that one to.
So vichara is its assistant.
It arises with together. Okay. That's why the second jhana, when it's so skillful, there can be only vijara without vitaka. See? Many moments pass without understanding, see? Sound, hearing, thinking, seeing, until there is some understanding from listening, considering, which will bring more and more understanding to condition direct awareness of a reality by conditions, not at anyone's will at all. So we don't know which will be the next object or the object of sati, awareness or understanding, because it is never the same one. It is always new one conditioned. So the object in this life is different from past life and from future life. When future comes, the conditions for object, for awareness, is not this object.
Sometimes Lodewijk, when he listens, he gets really upset by what he hears or that he cannot understand it. Like the other day, the sutta about karma. Being upset is a reality, and it will be helpful if you could say more about it.
We think that we can gain a lot of understanding from reading or hearing few words or the whole book. But actually it's not like that at all. It depends on the individual's accumulation. So whenever there is encouragement, it indicates how much one cling to the idea of self.
When there is upset.
Adding more and more and more.
An upset mind.
But what about so nice or so wonderful, so great to have opportunity to hear just this, even if it's one word or few words, what it can bring, understanding better and deeper. So it's great, that's all. No time for regretting or being discouraged at all. And that's the way to eliminate attachment. Otherwise, it's there. The more one read, the more one want to, that is not the right way to understand Dhamma as anatta.
It's caused, the upsetting is caused by clinging to self, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. So one can see that without panya, nothing can have the akusla become lesser and lesser.
Before I had a discussion with Venerable on DSG, and Venerable mentioned something which is actually quite a common idea. You mentioned that if there was a lot of gross defilements, if one was very agitated or depressed or disturbed in some way, that you thought this is fine when everything's going well, but if one was very disturbed or agitated, it was important to follow some meditation practice first so that the mind was calmed down, so that then one could hear more about dharmas. So this is quite a common idea that many people, like the Venerable, has, that if there is a lot of disturbance, there should be the following of some practice first before listening and considering to dharmas. Do you have any comments on this?
Say it again, please, sentence by sentence.
Maybe you can raise it
short.
Just if the mind is very agitated or disturbed or depressed.
That's true. It's true. So what?
So then, in order to...
That is the idea of thinking that one can do anything. To do is different from understanding the nature of it, which is already conditioned, and it will not stay long. It passes before there is the idea of I will do something. It's gone before the thinking about doing something. So there is no understanding at all. And the truth of studying is to understand, not for oneself, to have such and such peace of mind, but to understand reality. And that moment, reality is unwholesome reality. No one, no self, is real, is conditioned. When there is no understanding of it, there is desire to do something, not knowing that which has arisen and passed away completely. Just keep on thinking that I'll do something instead. But it's gone completely.
For example, this morning when I woke up and got up at 1:15, I realized that all this energy could go any way.
Please. It's not you who thinks, right?
No, right, but there's a lot of energy that could have gone anyway.
So, it's right thinking or wrong thinking about that?
This is where I'm not quite sure. When you say right thinking, do you mean to merely observe, to merely know?
The understanding from hearing that all realities are anatta is not firm enough to understand that moment as just a reality. So do not do anything, because there are conditions to wake up, there are conditions to see, there are conditions to think, there are conditions to do whatever in a day. But whether there is awareness and right understanding or not is not in anyone's control at all. But the more one understands the anatta-ness of reality, it doesn't hurt or harm because it's gone. Only this moment is real. That panya begin to understand or to see or to think over it while one is reading about it, whether it's true or not. This is the building up of understanding.
If it's a system, if the emotion or if the restlessness,
they are not self. Panya can understand it whenever it appears only. But when it does not appear, who can know its nature as such? So whatever appears can be object of understanding and awareness when there are right conditions only. If you try the other way, can that be right condition for understanding that very moment? Because the other moment hasn't come yet. And it keeps on going like this from birth to death. So if there is no understanding of reality right now, it's impossible to have any understanding of any reality.
But what is this understanding if it's not awareness? I mean, it means to be able to observe it, yes?
Who is observing?
Mind.
There is attachment to that to be done. Otherwise, there is no observing with the idea of self. I am observing. No understanding that there is no I.
I'm confused. I don't follow this at all. If there is agitation,
It's real. Conditioned. It has arisen.
And nothing can be done.
No, because it's completely conditioned, so it arises and it passes away as soon as there is no understanding of it. Completely gone.
Like now, there's confusion.
Mm-hmm. Confusion is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, okay, that is a condition, but do I freeze?
Even the understanding that agitation is conditioned, no one can do anything. This is the real point to develop right understanding better and better.
And then you let it go.
It's not you letting it go. Confusion arises. It has to go away. What makes your confusion go away? It's the same condition. It's the same non-self that makes confusion arrive, the same thing that can make wisdom arise. It's by condition. So you can't force it to do this or force it to do that. It has to be by conditions.
But if there is thirst, that thirst is caused by conditions. But drinking water will relieve that thirst.
Yes? Always.
Ajahn, I think the Venerable's answer implies that the aim would be to stop the confusion or agitation, but as I understand it, Satipatthana is not.
Is that the aim of studying, listening to Dhamma, to stop?
Understanding itself is doing something, isn't it? Even what is understanding if it's not a thought process or an awareness or both?
The function of understanding is to understand, not to stop something, not to do something, but simply to understand. So whether it is agitation or calmness or whatever is there, the function of understanding at that moment, if it arises, is simply to understand.
But
that is doing something, surely. Isn't it?
Not, you are not doing anything. Understanding is performing its function to simply understand.
I think, Khunsen Chin, that one problem is that, as you said, we study not for ourselves to have peace of mind, but to understand reality. But a lot of people say, well, actually, they study to have peace of mind. So actually, they're more interested in peace of mind for themselves than understanding reality. And for them, it seems that their practice brings some kind of peace of mind, or even if it's temporarily. So they say, oh, well, for them, they're studying in order to have peace of mind.
So they study for themselves, not for the understanding reality as it is, as not self. Because when one still clings very much to oneself, even while at moment of reading or thinking, it concerns one's own. And just put the name, the label on reality, like, oh, this is citta, and that is cetasika, but still they are mine. Even agitation is real, and that person can say that it's a moment of citta with unpleasant feeling and akusala, unwholesome cetasikas, but it's me. What can I do about it? See, everything belongs to that person, even at moment of hearing or reading about realities. Just name it and put label on it, different from before. Instead of saying it's mine, you can say that it's citta cetasika, but actually it's not the understanding citta and cetasika as not self, just a reality. So the aim of hearing, reading, studying the teaching is to be calm, to stop, or to understand reality as it is, in order to see that there is nothing that can be taken for I, or mine, or me at all. Like seeing right now, when you talk about agitation, is there no seeing? Is there no hearing? So they are all conditioned to arise. At moment of agitation, do you still want to have seeing arise? Or it has arisen by conditions? As seeing is conditioned to arise, agitation is conditioned to arise too. Whatever appears has arisen, so it can appear, and no one can hold it, take it, because as soon as it has arisen, it falls away instantly. While you are thinking about it, it's gone.
Ajahn, what is the difference between understanding and awareness, knowing? I know what you said, but I come back to the thirst, or whatever it is, that knowing that the thirst has arisen because of conditions, doing something about it, that's also conditioned, yes?
Each moment is conditioned when it arises and appears.
It doesn't mean that this nama rupa becomes paralyzed as a result, no. That's what I'm kind of thinking, that the understanding implies that there's a kind of a seizure or paralysis that occurs then.
The opposite. It's the opposite. Because we cling to nama and rupa, then there's paralysis in a sense. But if it's just no self, then nama and rupa are free to do the conditions as they should be. It's when people bring in special practices and so on that things go wrong, I think.
Ajahn, when you said yesterday there has to be, that it's necessary for there to be an intellectual understanding first, that means that something has to be done first, yes? That the effort has to be made by right thinking or something like this, yeah?
Okay, so who can do anything? You said something has to be done, but who can do?
But how does understanding arise without some kind of training or some kind of habit, new habit?
Without hearing?
Without
considering? Just training?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I mean, like to lose the sense of self requires reflection all the time, constant reflection, yes?
Ignorance conditions the idea of self, so the only way to have no ignorance is to understand reality. Otherwise, what can eliminate the idea of self? And who doesn't have the idea of self at all?
But where does this understanding come from?
Where does seeing come from? The answer is conditions for everything which arises.
What are the conditions for understanding to arise? What are the conditions that are necessary?
Without the eye, can there be seeing?
No.
So, what condition seeing?
The eye and the visible object.
Right.
So, what conditions understanding? I mean, everybody has done something by being here to try to understand. I mean, there is effort being made to understand. That's what I can't... Otherwise, we're here now in order to facilitate this understanding, right?
Is effort not conditioned?
Yes.
So everything is conditioned when it arises.
Actually, seeing the value of understanding conditions the effort of us coming here, whatever all the realities involved. But once here, who can decide when the understanding will arise or not? Who can make the effort to understand?
I'm just going to add to that, the effort is a jetta-seeker. Jetta-seekers arise and fall away. And when you think of citta, jetta-seeker and rupa, there is no I in any of that, is there?
No.
That's what we, in inverted commas, are, citta, jetta-seeker and rupa. They arise, they fall away, and amongst that jetta-seeker, there's effort, there's panya, there's doubt. They're all realities. They arise and they fall away.
I believe that during the rain season that Bhante was studying with another teacher, and the practice revolved around paying particular emphasis to mental states initially. So the practice was concerned with being aware with mental states, no interest in seeing, hearing, visible object, sound. And the idea was that by being aware of mental states, other realities could be known later. I'm also wondering whether, if by just focusing on mental states, whether that isn't just, like in the sutta we were reading yesterday, just accumulating a tendency to think more and more about oneself. Do you have any comments on this?
I don't think that without right understanding and right awareness, anyone can know anything. For example, effort. It seems like you know what effort is. Is it now? Or where is it? Or how can anyone have it to arise? What is it? Effort. We know the word effort, the whole situation, with or without effort. But actually, if we talk about just effort itself, is it real, when, and who can know that, that it's effort? Or just think that it's effort, the whole situation?
Ajahn, what conditions effort?
Let's talk, what is effort? Because if we don't know effort, how can we know about who conditioned it? Is there effort right now? Or is there only seeing? Or after seeing has gone, is there effort? Or when is effort arise? When does it arise? We don't know anything about it. Even saying that effort is nama, that is only thinking. As long as effort does not appear as nama, you just say that it's nama.
Does it have a characteristic or quality?
It must have its characteristic. It's not just the fake word or anything, but it's real.
What is the characteristic?
Viriya, can we say? That which supports Jetasikas whenever it arises.
But Viriya implies doing something.
Of the house.
The pillar.
Yes.
Yeah. Viriya implies doing something, doesn't it?
No. Effort cannot do anything. It has its own function. Can effort walk?
No, but walking needs effort.
When?
Well, every moment.
As soon as you like or you think about this, is there any effort? You don't have to move, you don't have to get up, you don't have to put your or reach your hand out, but just like that.
But when you pointed it out, there was effort because I wasn't even...
Okay, thinking. I don't point.
What?
Yeah. What do you like now? What do you like now? What you dislike now? There must be object of like or dislike. Is the effort, even at that very short moment, not doing anything yet? See, this is the way to talk about anything, be precise and understand reality as reality, not as I can make it, I can do it, I can have it. That is I, not any reality. If there is that idea, you take all realities for I or mine, or belongs to someone, or is something. It's not effort itself, as just a reality which arises when it's right time for its arising.
Ajahn, because it's so contrary to everything, like yesterday when I said about restructuring the mind, because the I is always ever present, there is effort required to change that perception.
You just think about effort, but when does it arise? Does it arise now? At moment of thinking?
Yes.
Is there effort?
There isn't. There seems. I don't know.
See, so we don't know effort, but we think about it and imagine it is this way or that way.
But the fact that yesterday was a tremendous amount of effort must have been used yesterday.
Each moment of thinking, there must be effort.
There must be effort.
Each moment now, which thinks. So, who can do that? Who can control it? Who can make it up?
Is the effort that arises with kusala citta same as the effort that would arise with akusala citta? The effort arising with akusala citta would also arise without banya, but with mo. And is it a situation where when that effort that arises with moha presents the illusion that there is a self exerting oneself in some way?
I think that that's why we have to study carefully about each citta, otherwise we miss them all. For example, talking about effort, if we don't know effort arises with what citta or how many cittas, we might think that it arises even with chakku vijnana or seeing, or other ahetuka cittas. See? So it's not the matter of imagining or thinking, but it's studying and in order to see that each moment is conditioned by such and such conditions, by different ways of being conditioned too.
Because there is right effort, and then there is right effort of the Eightfold Path.
Because it arises almost with every citta.
Yeah.
Among the 18 ahetuka citta, effort of riya arises with two only. And when it's not ahetuka citta, effort arises with all of them.
Can you say a little bit more about that, please?
In order to know how many cittas effort arises with, among the 18 ahetuka cittas, which are cittas without hetu, a company at all, there are only two kinds of ahetuka citta which has effort arises with. Manotuvara vachana is one which viriya or effort arises, and hasitupata, kriya citta of an arahata. Seeing, hearing, smelling doesn't have effort arising with it at all.
Sounds as if a lot of our discussion is around the confusion between concept and the name of a jetasika, so that there is jetasika called effort. But we actually talk about effort like it's a story, like the story of trying to do something, and maybe with other things too, like understanding or giving, or that there's a kind of a mixing of the names of the cetasikas with the conventional story about understanding or making an effort or something like that. That's why your insistence upon understanding Dhamma, to keep coming back to what is Dhamma, seems to be very important. Otherwise it's very easy to get lost in the stories about the cetasikas, as opposed to the specific understanding of the characteristics of the citta and cetasika which arises. Developing the understanding of the characteristic, for example, if we go to seeing, visible object, the characteristic that it can be seen, there is not much more to say, is there?
Would you like to say
anything? We can say a lot of things, but in essence, it's like each of these dhammas has a characteristic, but we make a big story about that.
In order to understand it, or what?
To understand it. But there's some confusion about how to develop understanding. Perhaps the thinking that if we make the story about it, that will help understanding, but not at all. You keep saying, come back to what is Dhamma.
What about learning the truth of whatever appearing now? For example, there is seeing for sure. Usually, there is the idea of someone or I see his or her seeing, but actually it's a reality. The question is whether, while one hears anything about Dhamma, does one agree with what one heard? For example, seeing, it's real, it's now, it's conditioned, it arises and passes away. Because it's not thinking, it's not hearing at all. That's the way to begin to understand reality, each one as it is. Citta, not cetasika, and each cetasika is different from the other cetasikas. Not the whole story, as usual, because the whole story doesn't bring about the understanding of the truth of anything at any moment. So it's not just the word like effort. It seems like we know what effort is, but actually it's only hearing or heard about that which is now arising with such and such moment. But it's not seen as nama, it's not seen as a reality, it's not directly experienced yet, but there must be, because cittas are different from moment to moment. Like seeing cannot be hearing, and it cannot be thinking. So thinking is not hearing, and what are there at moment of thinking? Not only seven cetasikas, more than that, to condition such moment of thinking, right thinking or wrong thinking.
I find it very meaningful each time Ajahn speaks about seeing and which are the conditions. We have to hear this so many times, and we cannot expect to understand it only a few times, and that's why there is so much insistence on hearing again and again and again. And if we have expectations to know it at once now, we will get quite discouraged.
Everyone agrees, effort is real, it's nama, but it's not only that. It has to be direct experience of a reality right now, which has different characteristics. For example, visible object is real, but it's not seeing. And since seeing is seeing now, there can be the development of understanding the nature of seeing as just that, with no shape, no form, no smell. Whenever it arises, it's experience an object, because its function is to experience an object. It's the faculty of experiencing an object. So at any time, there must be citta arising. That's why when there is the understanding, the intellectual understanding, it can condition moment of direct understanding, even just very little, very short, but it's different from moment without awareness, without any understanding of it at all. But it grows very slowly. It seems like pariyatti is very, very difficult to understand, right? But reality is much more difficult, because it's beyond words, not only words. The words just represent or explain each characteristic as it is, as much as one can follow and understand that that is a reality.
And that seems to be a lot of the difficulty for us, that we want the words.
Beyond words, that is what I was going to ask. Yes. What is beyond words?
At this moment of seeing, awareness is aware and panya begin to understand. Do you have time to say anything? At moment of experiencing hardness, hardness is appearing. Do you have time to say anything? But right understanding is there. Moment with awareness is different from moment without awareness. Very natural.
So we have to emphasize patience, Kanti, because we have lack of patience.
Thinking of moment in between visible object appearing and idea about visible object as something. What are there in between? Usually it's ignorance, no awareness. But the person like an arahata does not have any akusla, even latent tendency at all. After seeing and the process of seeing has fallen away, right understanding is there instead of the others who do not know about reality at all. Always ignorance and akusla in between, unknowingly before the rupa, which is the object, has fallen away. See, so fast. This is the difference between developing understanding and no awareness of reality at all. After seeing, usually when we talk loosely, not in details about each citta, after seeing, usually there is akusala moments, right? But for those who develop right understanding, there can be conditions for kusala with understanding to arise because of the beginning of being aware and beginning to understand that certain reality, the nimitta of the arising and falling away of that kind of reality. Because reality now arises and passes away so rapidly, nobody can imagine how fast. So what is left is the nimitta of it. So awareness can be aware of reality, no matter its nimitta, because so rapid, the succession is so rapid, instead of not knowing anything about seeing as before, or not knowing anything about hardness and the experiencing of hardness before. So one can see awareness arises, so it is aware of the object that is already experienced by the previous one.
And fallen away.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter at all. But we can see that what is left from eyes, ears, nose, tongue are only nimitta. We live in the world of nimitta, the succession of the arising and falling away of realities, not knowing that only nimitta now.
I find it difficult, to be aware of dreams or nimitta or illusion.
Who can make it arise?
Nobody, because it's conditioned.
But when there is more and more understanding, can there be a moment of not being forgetful that this moment is real?
But it's not so real because it's nimitta.
That is thinking about nimitta. If you don't think about nimitta, what is real at this moment? This one object is real.
They are real. Yeah. Yes.
So it's not just thinking that each reality arises and falls away, but it's the understanding begin to see different characteristics as they are different, to see that there is no self at all. Seeing is a reality, hearing is a reality, thinking is a reality. This is the way to see all realities as no self at all.
I get confused when I have to think of nimitta, but you said no thinking of nimitta.
Okay. Are you now thinking of nimitta or what is experienced?
No, I'm not thinking of nimitta, no. Mm-hmm. Because so, it's hardness and cold.
No need to think about it. No need to think about it. As it appears as this, like this.
But we should know that there is nimitta.
Until then.
Until?
Until then, you see.
Until what? I don't understand.
Until Panya develops to the degree that it can see.
See. When is that?
Panya arises at that degree.
Vipassana jnana?
Certainly, we don't have to think about the term.
No.
The precise and clear comprehension or understanding is there.
So, at the moment of the first vipassana jnana?
Do we have to call that?
It's not necessary, but it may help us
in what to know.
Not to get confused and take for a vipassana jnana what is not vipassana jnana.
Now, seeing and hearing, are they clear as different moments?
Very thick.
Even right now, it's not clear.
No.
So when we talk about vipassana jnana, it's not like this. Because this moment is not clear yet. When it's clear, it's clear. When it's not clear, it's not clear.
can you often emphasize the difference between this intellectual right understanding and Panya? The Panya that knows a reality.
There are many levels of Panya. Intellectual understanding is also Panya. Whenever there is right understanding, it's not anything else besides Panya. We use the Pali term, an English term, is understanding, and the Thai term for it is Khao Jai.
However, there is a deeper level, is what you're emphasizing, that many of us get caught up in, not following on from Nina's question, get caught up in thinking we know visible object, but at the moment of Panya knowing visible object, there is a deeper understanding. There's less doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Now one knows that visible object is no body. Just this, is it all right?
Well, that's known on the intellectual level. It's not known on a deeper level.
This is intellectual. Without direct awareness, can there be other object appearing after seeing? Even right now, hearing follows or in between seeing and thinking. Without awareness, can there be the direct understanding of each one? Or just thinking that they arise in between? So this is the difference between direct understanding with direct awareness and intellectual understanding. So in the beginning, if there is no understanding, moment with awareness, which is different from moment without awareness, Panya does not develop to higher degree of direct understanding.
I have a small question that relates a little to the discussion about effort, and your mention of arahats reminded me. The Buddha often says to people when they're sick, for example, bear it or endure it, and we know this is talking about conditioned dharmas, and it's just a reminder to develop patience and right effort and understanding. Why does the Buddha say to an arahat such as Angulimala when he's being attacked, when Angulimala is already an arahat and he is struck by sticks and clods, etc., the Buddha says to him, bear it, Brahman, bear it, you're experiencing here and now the result of deeds because of which you might have been tortured in hell for many years. Well, because he's an arahat, there's no more rebirth. Why is he reminded to bear it or endure?
I think that we better check with Pali first, and then we can find out what else would Buddha say.
I think related to that, I have a question about Moggallana also, about when he's feeling drowsy, why did the Buddha tell him to pay attention to this and that, just to lessen the drowsiness?
What else would he say?
But that drowsiness is...
to anyone, at any time.
But that drowsiness is not Thina Mida, is it? Because of Anarhata doesn't...
It's not Anarhata. Moggallana was only Sotapanna.
Oh, he was only Sotapanna.
Do you think that when he... Perhaps,
I don't know who's...
Perhaps it's a reminder to everyone else at the time, perhaps? Or
if we would talk, what would we say? About Dhamma? Or not about Dhamma?
Dharma, for sure.
I mean, Moggallana was still a Sotapanna. And he
7 days.
Yeah, and he was developing Samatha. This is a Sukhinda story.
Not at the moment he was special.
No. And he felt drowsy. He was developing Samatha, being the one who was going to be Jhana Master, of course, as Moggallana.
And that he talked with him before his death.
No, that was... He didn't talk about his death, so... And he told him look at the light or pull your ear, and if you see the ear pulling one's a little bit unusual, but did you ever advise people to do that, Arjun?
Did Mohanlana do that?
I don't know. Anyway, he overcame it, and I think after that he became Arahant. So it was quite useful.
I think that it's impossible to know the other citta, especially those who have accumulated conditions for samatha and vipassana. What would arise?
And isn't it like the Vitaka Santana Sutta examples, where it's a matter of those who do this, do that anyway by their accumulations, and a reminder to develop understanding, whether pulling an ear or
pushing the tongue onto the palate.
It's not telling everyone to push it on, but for those who do this anyway, develop understanding.
For those who plan to try.
If you think you can push your tongue into your palate and that's a viable method, then why not do anything, really? What do people in Thai say about that? Do they quote that to you? We get that quoted a lot on BSG, the Vitaka Sutta.
Yeah, I think that it depends on conditions. Whether some would and some wouldn't do.
Anyway, it's about samatha, isn't it?
We don't know, because vipassana or satipatthana can arise at any time.
But it seems to be designed for the person who is maybe developing samatha and vipassana rather than for the sukha vipassaka type.
But it's daily life.
Pushing the tongue onto the palate?
Yes, at that time.
It's just common daily life. It's like for us, maybe we don't pull on our ear, but maybe count to 10 or take a break or something. It's just common.
I don't think pulling on your ear is common daily life.
At that time, perhaps.
I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, pulling on your ear to wake yourself up.
Yeah. Is it in Tibetan?
The matchsticks or remember, or take a piece of paper and write something down. In that commentary, there's a lot of examples. Or ring the bell for help.
Okay.
I think the question about bear it, endure it to Angulimala, it also relates to the question about, well, you said, well, what else to say, but for Narahat, what would it matter how it was endured or not endured, because there are no kilesa arising. And I think it relates a little to the question about why an arahat would prefer a pleasant abiding to a non-pleasant abiding. I think the answer is, well, what else to do and what else to experience.
But I didn't know when Buddha said to Angulimala, after or before he became arahat or what?
I believe it was after. It's in the Angulimala Sutta. And Nina checked the Thai in the commentary, but the commentary doesn't say anything about it. But you mentioned the PTS, and the Thai uses the phrase, do you endure it, Brahman? Do you endure it, Brahman?
Like sometimes the Buddha says, what have you been doing, as a sort of a greeting, right, to people? Even though he knows exactly what they've been doing. It's just a way of...
Now, a few months ago, I came back to Thailand to study quantum physics, and someone handed me the Paramahansa book, and I dropped quantum physics books. This is much more interesting.
It's just a distraction.
That's true. It is a distraction.
It helps so much to know more about process of chittas, and how fast they go, because I just look outside and I see my husband, but he's only seeing visible object, but I think a lot of stories, and many, many cheetahs are thinking with pleasant feeling, and I confuse it all. I'm so attached.
What's come up is that the English term non-self doesn't really correlate directly with anatta. This is what I'm thinking. I may be correct. Is that correct?
I don't know. I don't think it's a problem.
It doesn't matter so much the term anatta or sunyata. Also in the sutta, sunyata is the synonym of non-self. As long as we understand the characteristic of no owner, no possessor, no control. That is really the meaning of anatta. The citta arises because of its own condition. You cannot do anything about it or direct it. Elements, nama elements and rupa elements.
Only elements move in different forms.
But I can say it, no in theory, but to realize it is another matter.
Yes, yes. Well, the realization, you mentioned seeing your husband.
Yeah.
When Bob and I were walking to the taxi this morning, we recognized when you can feel your feet, the hardness of the ground, you're not seeing where you're walking. And when you're seeing, you're not feeling the hardness of the ground. So that being able to be aware of the citta rising as rapidly as they rise.
So long as we don't wish for it or try it.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's not a
yeah,
it's
because
not
there
an
may be a subtle trying to know.
Yeah.
And then we go the wrong way.
No, correct. You don't wish for it. It's
there may be clinging afterwards, just shortly after all these different experiences.
And clinging is only an aspect of the self.
It doesn't need to be this wrong view.
Correct. No, it doesn't.
It can be
need.
Without or this wrong view.
You talk about a moment when seeing arises that is not at moment of feeling hardness
correct.
When you are walking.
Correct.
How can that be conditioned to know that very moment? Because you have heard before about seeing and touching, that they are different moments.
Yes.
Otherwise, there will never be a moment of knowing or understanding that moment when there is experiencing the hardness, there is no seeing.
Right.
This is the beginning of understanding reality as it is, little by little.